This is a Beanbag Chair Media production.
Hi guys, and welcome to Anime Noise.
I'm Garrett. I'm a performing musician by trade, graduated with a bachelor's degree in music production, and have been binging anime for almost 2 decades.
And I'm Emily. I am a classically trained violinist and have been indulging in the animes since I was a wee little human.
And this is an anime review podcast, where we help the new viewer decide where they want to start while taking the superfan on a deep dive into the overlooked realm of music and sound effects.
Beautiful people of the world.
What is up, motherfuckers?
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's Tuesday.
We just wanted you to know that dreams do come true.
Dreams do come true. Yes, they do. Do they? Is that? I guess that is the summary of this whole fucking anime episode, isn't it?
Yeah.
Dreams do come true. You know what? They absolutely do. I just started reading. I'm like almost halfway through Dave Grohl's book called The Storyteller. And his dreams certainly came true, that's for sure.
I mean,
hot damn.
My dreams since February have come true.
Yes, they have.
So, I mean, dreams do come true.
I'm still waiting for most of my dreams to come true, I think.
Excuse me, sir.
I mean, all of them have come true. You are the light of my life.
Jesus.
I could not ask for anything more in this world.
Obviously not.
Needless to say, guys, we are talking about the next Star Wars Visions episode. This is episode 2 called Tatooine Rhapsody. And this one hits very close to home for me, mostly because it's about a rock band.
Indeed.
Indeed.
A very spatial rock band.
Yeah, super.
Spacey.
Yeah.
Spacey rock.
Spacey as fuck. Anyway, to give you guys a little summary of this episode, a young Padawan, an Order 66 survivor who wants to break through with his rock band after spending several years on Tatooine, where he had escaped to. Ultimately, this is a story about a band that needs their friend back. And I feel that. It hits me right in the feels. All of my heartstrings. All six of my heartstrings.
All of them.
Think rock and roll space opera. Except without the, you know, it's not like, what's that movie? The Fifth Element with the blue singer chick?
Yes,
not
I
that kind
loved
of opera.
Her. I
not
loved
that kind
her
of
so
opera.
Much.
No, really, think more like, if you guys have seen anime with any fictional band, really, you could think of Beck Mongolian Chop Squad. That reminds me, this OST reminds me a lot of that.
Yeah, truly.
It also, let's see, what else? Angel Beats.
Yeah, kind of as you described it. Any
I haven't
anime...
seen K-On!, but I've heard some of this stuff, and it's similar.
Yeah, I watched the first couple episodes of that. And also Carol and Tuesday.
Yeah. So any fictional anime band, yeah, this is pulling on the heartstrings of an angsty, youthful band. This studio that did this, it is Studio Colorido.
We haven't talked about this one yet.
Not at all. I actually haven't heard of them. They are a subsidiary of the Twin Engine Studio, think Cabaneri of the Iron Fortress and the original Dororo. Just recently, in April of 2022, they signed a multi-year co-production deal with Netflix. So many things in store from the studio in the future. Yeah, I can't wait. This is a good one. The anime that also came from Colorido, if you've seen them, A Whisker Away, Burn the Witch, and Penguin Highway. The only one I've heard of is Whisker Away.
No, you've heard of Burn the Witch, too.
That's true.
Because
yeah,
that has come up in at least two other
right.
episodes. So that's
totally right.
Now we have to watch it.
Now we got
to
watch it.
Because there's...
I want to see what else you got, Colorido.
Yeah, let's go. All right. The director for this particular one, Taku Kimura, Kimura told interviewers that his studio recognized the centrality of music in Star Wars and wanted to remain true to the franchise's themes while also doing something original by changing the genre to rock and roll. The studio further wanted to send the message to viewers to do what they want and not be caught up in the past, which Kimura explained meshed well with the stories of both Jay and Geezer Odagian. I think I said that right in the short film. Here we go again. Odagian left Jabba the Hutt's Desilijic Kajitic to form a band. What the hell?
Star Wars language is hard.
So the band's name is Star Waver because he had a passion for music rather than crime. And Jay fled the Clone Wars and left the Jedi Order behind to join Odagian's band, even going so far as to convert his lightsaber into a microphone. We all love that.
Seems dangerous.
Kimura said that the conversion from weapon to instrument symbolized Jay's evolution from violence to vocals.
Look at that.
So the director, this is his first role. So this is, you know, kind of a quote coming from his direction. And I wanted to include that because this is his first directing role. He has been a supporting voice actor for various roles, including Naruto. So he's been in big names, but this is like probably the biggest name that he's been a part of, and he directed it.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
That's pretty cool. Aside from the director, nothing is new. We know that all the sound is done by Skywalker Sounds, so we're gonna just move on to the OST.
Yeah, and there's no opening.
No opener,
track. No closer.
No ender.
There is an insert song. Which we aren't going to play. We'll let that one ride. We'll let you guys listen to that one.
I feel like if you've even like researched Visions at all, like you should, that would be the first song to pop up.
It's a good one. I really liked it. Though this whole genre of music is kind of like
your realm.
Yeah, it hits home for me. It reminds me a lot of you know, well, growing up and recording and writing songs like this. And being just passionate and opening your heart, wearing your heart on your sleeve, or really wearing it on your strings as you rock the fuck out. So yeah, it hits home. I enjoy it. I really like this one. One thing that we did forget to mention though, guys, to put this into kind of a canonistic timeline, because Boba Fett is in this, Jabba the Hutt's in this. Order 66 was an order carried out, I assume, by Darth Vader.
Yes. Because the Inquisitors were underneath Darth Vader.
So Darth Vader put out Order 66 to claiming that all the Jedis were traitors and they should all be captured and executed. And that's why the Inquisitors came about, just like in the new Obi-Wan show. If you have not seen that, go watch that. It's so fucking good.
That was actually why I chose to do Visions this week, because we just finished Obi-Wan.
Oh, man. It was awesome.
We talked about Tatooine a lot, and we just, you know, I'm not even going to spoil it because it's not even an anime. I don't deserve to spoil it. But, you know, Tatooine was involved. So
Tatooine's
a pretty
big deal in all of the Star Wars
realm.
I felt
like this was a fitting thing to transition into.
Yeah. So part of the Inquisitors were essentially this character in this anime is somebody that they would have been hunting just like they would have been hunting Obi-Wan. This guy had stayed a Jedi. He wasn't actually a full-blown Jedi. He was just a Padawan.
He was just a Padawan.
Which I still think they were hunting them at the time anyway. But
yeah, they were anybody even remotely close to being a Jedi. They knew how to use the Force.
Let's move on to the OST. It's a very short one. Only 8 tracks, but we've got double than the last Visions
Still only 9 minutes.
And still only a 9-minute runtime. Yeah, super short, very easy to listen to. Again, all of the music released October of 2021. Last time we will say it. This was composed by Yoshiaki Dewa. From what Emily can tell, he's been in the music game since 2006. He's also in a J-pop duo called Jukai, where he is the composer, arranger, guitarist, pianist, and programming specialist.
My God.
Wearing all the hats. He has worked mostly on theme song arrangement and composition in anime such as Fate Stay Night, the OVA, Food Wars, My Hero Academia, but has done the composition overall for Flying Witch and Petite separately.
Petit.
Is it Petit?
Petit.
Amnesia and A Lull in the Sea. We almost watched that the other day.
We did. I was all about it.
There's another band that helped arrange or compose, I guess perform with Dewa in this OST. So I guess let me give you kind of a rundown, 1 through 7, because the 8th one is just an instrumental version of the insert song. Order 66, number 1, was done by Dewa. Galactic Dreamer, the insert song, is Nonpe. Star Waver is Yoshiaki. Dewa. Boba Fett Chase, Dewa. Encounter, Dewa. And I guess everything was Dewa except for Nonpe, wasn't it?
Indeed.
Probably should have just skipped to that part.
Well, Bucket. Here we are.
Yeah, why don't you tell them about Nonpe?
Yeah, so who fucking knows?
Nobody knows.
Who fucking knows?
Guess why, we can't tell you anything.
we don't know why they're flying under the radar. I don't know if it's a band. I don't know if it's a group. I don't know if it's a person. I have no idea. But they are flying under the damn radar, and I can't find anything aside from what the mighty Reddit has to say, and we utilize all our resources here. So according to Redditor Unfamous, I think he meant to say famous, but you know how Reddit is. You got to spell everything wrong. So Unfamous.
Unfamous is probably already taken.
The singer's name is Satoshi Nonpe, but the internet just takes me to Bitcoin, so I don't even know if that's true. I have no idea.
Interesting.
I have no idea who this is, but apparently they're like a big deal. And also worth noting, and the OST, so we watched it in English dub, like Star Wars. It's Star Wars. We watched it in English dub. But the OST has the Japanese version, and I definitely like the Japanese version better than the English version.
Do you like it?
I do.
Do you think it's because Joseph Gordon-Levitt was singing it?
Maybe.
I think he sang it.
I'm pretty sure
it sounds like his voice.
Yeah. I'm not a fan. Sorry, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah.
Not a fan. Whatever.
I think he did okay. He pulled it off. It's definitely a youthful, angsty teenager. Probably a teenager.
I'd say so. What were your overall notes for this 8-track OST?
I only had 3 notes.
Okay.
One, this is my kind of OST, mostly just because, like I said, it hits home for me. Though it does feel a bit generic as far as like the songs, and now that I know that Dewa did all of them but one, some of the songs that he did, like number 1, Order 66, and number 4, it was almost Star Wars. Like, Order 66 had that very infamous ostinato, like, that chugging along. It sounds really dark and imperial.
Mm-hmm.
But it was so simple. It didn't go anywhere. It really didn't need to, I guess.
Well, especially track 1. It didn't even resolve.
Yeah. But a lot of the Star Wars score... it wasn't Star Wars. It was just a little too simple, a little too generic. It had been done before.
No, I agree with that. In fact, I didn't even fill up a whole page with this.
I
made it 3/4, maybe even 2/3 of the page because I just didn't have anything to say about it. Not only were the songs super short, but it didn't bring about any kind of enlightenment in me.
It's definitely more of a... kids, it's geared toward kids.
Yeah, I can definitely hear it.
Preteens. It's an episode for preteens for sure.
Yeah. Did you finish your overall notes? I'm sorry if I.
Yeah, no, that's pretty much it. My last note is just so nostalgic for me.
Okay. All I really had to say is that it's very Beck / Mongolian Chop Squad in most all of it, which it fits in with the nostalgia, very preteen, teenager years. Angsty, especially due to the fact that even in Beck, they were all just teenagers.
Maybe it's not even just preteen. It's like the coming of age, but high school age.
Yeah.
Like becoming a young adult.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even in 8th grade, you're like 13.
Yeah.
So. And then I acknowledge in this OST that he did a very good job with pertaining to emotional feel.
Oh, yeah.
I could see every scene. You know, I know that we just watched it yesterday, but again, like, it's a lot harder to pinpoint the music away from the screen. And also hard to pinpoint it when you're watching it too, because sometimes the mix is weird, or sometimes you get involved in the story and you forget to listen to the music.
Totally.
But I definitely felt, you know, Order 66, it's like summon the fucking Battlefront. Like, they did a good job. You know when it plays, like, you can see the scene. So they did a very good job bringing it around to fit the episode. So I'll give them that for sure.
Yeah. And it was supposed to be simple. As far as, like, you know, nothing really wowed me. I enjoyed it a lot. I wasn't mind blown by any means, but I did enjoy the music of Tatooine Rhapsody. It was good. It was, and they did what they were supposed to do.
Yeah,
I think. So what did you have start, Emily? I know we're only going to play two songs, because otherwise if we play more than that, it's going to be the whole OST.
Yeah, I started track six.
Track six. Okay, I started track number three, and I had a half star on six and seven. Seven, I feel like, is too short, so let's just play three and six.
Three and six.
Cool. Here is number three, and like I said, the insert song, Galactic Dreamer, kind of like the climax of this whole episode. We're going to save that one for you guys, or if you haven't even seen the episode, go watch it. You
know?
It is the climax of the episode.
Disney Plus, free trial. Go do
it. Yeah, go do it. we'll give you our password.
No.
Just kidding.
I won't give you my password. We're not going to do that. Sorry.
We aren't going to do that. Here is Star Waver. This is the song, which I'm assuming is the name. It is the name of the band in this show. So it is their theme song. Here it is. Fuck yeah. Riff rock, baby. Bluesy as fuck. I love those chords.
This is the first song that reminded me of Beck. This is the song that I heard. I was like, oh, okay.
This reminds me of Ockhammer.
From the listeners.
It's that blues chord, man.
Yeah.
Simple, noisy guitar solo. I love the bass riff, though, at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Man. Yeah, the bass line at the end is fucking sweet. Man. Yeah. What were your overall notes for number three?
I literally said, love the guitar solo. The whole, the vibe reminds me of Beck. That was what I said.
That was it?
That was it.
That was it.
That was all I had. I told you, I only wrote like 2/3 of a page.
I mean, it's hard to write notes for a song that's only 52 seconds long. And one of those seconds is silence. So, 51 seconds. All right, let's move on to number six. I'm going to give you my notes for the song before we play it this time.
Do it.
Yeah, not during. This one's called Mos Espa Grand Arin. It's like they forgot to put an A at the end of it. Grand Arena. It is, to me, the most memorable piece. I love that angsty, dirty rhythm guitar. Definitely how I used to approach songwriting. A simple track that reveals the vulnerability of the composer. It is that feeling that you get when you're young, but you're not afraid to show who you are. You know, you're still learning who you are, but trying to put that into a song and not knowing who you are, it's very simple and raw.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how I feel when I listen to this. How about you? What was number six notes for you?
So sultry.
So sultry.
So sultry. I dug it. It even builds up an instrumentation. And I heard, and we'll listen to it again and kind of confirm my thoughts on it. But I felt like it was mixing Coldplay and Beck. And this one I felt was
Beck
too
Mongolian Chop Squad, not
yeah,
the artist.
Yeah, Beck Mongolian Chop Squad. I wanted it to actually be longer.
Yeah, right?
Yeah,
I could see that.
This was the only song that I was like, I want this actually to continue.
More. Yeah, it's only a minute and 21 seconds. Here it is. I love that.
It just sounds so sultry. Like, it just beats up my heart, my soul.
simple riff, but catchy. You know, you can sing it.
Like, I want to create lyrics for it.
Great melody choices, too, like, notation-wise. Simple but colorful.
This is the part that made me think of Coldplay.
Yeah, it's very arena rock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, my idea is confirmed. Thank you. Thank you all. Have a great night.
Except it's more badass than most of Coldplay. I shouldn't hate on Coldplay.
Don't hate on Coldplay. They
That's
put
what
out
I get for
bangers.
Reading so much of that Dave Grohl book.
Yeah.
He always jokes with Coldplay. It's like their fake rivalry that they have.
It's like Ryan Reynolds and...
Hugh Jackman. Yeah. It's like that fake rivalry. You know, you got to have something.
Got to have something.
Got to have that little brother you can pick on.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, it was based on the two songs that we presented to you... You can see how this only lasted 9 minutes.
It's very simple. It's a short episode.
It should be though. Yeah.
You can't take this one too far.
And I even said on track five, it was that one where it's like the really soft rock. And it just added to the character development, but it's short and at least it's not overly drawn out. Like, they didn't loop anything. They didn't add anything. They didn't need to. It was short enough for the scene. And I dig that. Like, it makes me want to give it more points because of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could see that.
But I'm
speaking of points.
I know, but I'm not going to rate it that high.
Speaking of points, what are you going for?
A three.
That low, huh?
Yeah.
I can't give it too low of a three, and because you said that, now I have to, since we're averaging out, I'm going to raise my points. I was going to give it a 3.5, maybe even a 4, but only because, nothing blew my mind, it did hit that nostalgia factor for me, but nothing was bad.
No, nothing.
I did want more, but nothing, I was like, that sucks.
Nothing was bad, but we're going off of, and I would be willing to go up to, man, you're rigging the system, Garrett.
I'm not rigging the system.
You are rigging the system because you said that you were going to raise the points because of how low mine was.
Well, I was thinking 3.5 or 4 anyway.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
We can meet in the middle at a 3.75.
No, are you going with a 4? Is that what you're going for?
No, I'm going to go 3.75.
Okay. I don't mind going up to 3.75. That works for me because it does fit.
And
like, I don't
that's
have
the most important
and,
thing.
And right. And I guess with everything, I'm just, I don't know. It's like hard. It's hard to judge
it
music
is hard to judge.
Because I, you know, obviously if this was like, far, you know, left field and not at all close to what this like represents, or even like if it was just music and it didn't pertain anything to what was happening in the episode, like, you know, that would be one thing. And I probably wouldn't even rate it a 3.
You could argue that it didn't have enough Star Wars in it. But I don't know if it was supposed
to be. That was, you know, that was kind of my point with the direction from the actual director, was that he wanted to have Star Wars there, but he didn't want to bring the past back around. And
yeah,
he wanted to create something new and something in the present, in the future, you know, things like that. So
one thing that did wow me though was even like number 6, those melody notes that they chose were very colorful. And although it was simple, it was like, it was very well done. It didn't lose complexity for how simple it was. So
no,
that's why I would give it bonus points.
I'll give it, I mean, 3.75 is works for me. I don't even have to meet in the middle. I'm happy to give the 3/4 point.
Sweet. There it is. It has been decided. 3.75. Not bad.
Not bad.
Not bad.
Not bad for a short episode.
Yeah.
I got a little bit of more information for you guys.
Yeah, bring it on.
So this particular, you know, we talked about this the last time we did a Visions episode for The Duel, and we talked about how great of feedback and criticism that The Duel had. This particular episode did not have that. It did not. It did not have as great a feedback.
Well, it wasn't as cool as The Duel.
It's true. And it also didn't have a background that came from a very, like, prestigious director. So, and to the point that there have even been Beavis and Butthead memes used regarding this episode.
Well, that's not very fair.
And that can never be good. Ouch. But I do say that the humans need to lighten up, because it seems like it's all coming from the chibi Boba Fett and the wig-wearing Hutt. And just fucking cheer up, guys. Like, it's not that big of a deal. It's okay to see Boba Fett as a chibi character, and he wasn't even chibi. Like,
you know,
you guys,
this kind of reminded me of
what?
The Goofy movie.
Oh yeah, yeah, it does kind of. Even in the animation,
it's reminiscent. It's a little more serious than that, because they bring it into Star Wars, and there's some, like, you know, there's some fucking explosions.
They're
and
like,
death and shit.
And they're also like, you know, execution.
Yeah, so it's a little more serious, but yeah, it kind of reminds me of like the Goofy movie.
Yeah, I can see that. I do have some new information regarding the series as a whole. You know, every time I research this, I find something new. So here we go. So this is from the executive producer, James Waugh, and I really appreciate what he's going for, because it's true. These are all Japanese anime studios that are coming into this American world of Star Wars. So, you know, this is getting their take on it, and it's lovely. So he said, "The goal with Visions was always that we wanted this to be an authentic Japanese anime. We wanted it to be true expression from these individual creators in a process that they're used to. The last thing we wanted to do was be a Western studio that went with our ideas and then really leaned on them for their aesthetic. They were creating stories and concepts that could only come from their unique cultural perspective." And to that we say cheers. Holy shit. Like, that's
awesome.
All that you ever want to hear out of Western, like, the Western hemisphere.
When you're
coming
collaborating.
Collaborating with Japanese creators, that not only are they underpaid and underappreciated for in their perspective job point of view.
Well, so anime is a big deal.
But anime is a huge deal. It's a huge deal for not only the creators of the anime itself, but for the performers who are involved in the anime and everything else. Like, this, it's a big deal to people like us and people from Japan, where this is their culture. This is their, what they know and what they grew up with, you know, Saturday morning cartoons.
It's a big deal.
It's a
and
big
I'm glad
deal.
That they did that.
And
that's a very great approach.
Yeah. And so I wanted to say that and bring that into light, because it brings a new appreciation to the series, because now you're like, okay, so this actually is a genuine expression of the Japanese studios that are creating this.
There's just one thing that makes it not authentically anime.
Oh, Garrett. Is it
there's just one.
Fan service?
No. Yes. No. 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 It is. There's no OP or ED.
That's true. But there, you know, it is a Western studio working with them. So I feel like there's got to be a give and a take. And I'm sure that there was a certain criteria.
Well, of course, it'd be hard to have like one song for each episode of Visions.
With all different like storylines as well. So,
but they could have made it work.
They could have.
It's not necessary.
You're being nitpicky.
I am totally being nitpicky.
You're being nitpicky.
That's my job, right?
Yeah.
We got to have shit to talk about. Let's nit and let's pick.
But I mean, aside from that, that was it for that episode. We really enjoyed watching Obi-Wan. We really enjoyed doing these episodes, especially learning information like this. It gives me a new perspective on the things that I'm researching and the things that we're watching. So I enjoy that aspect of my job.
Me too. And next time, now that I'm thinking about it, like, I search a bunch of databases for information on all sorts of songs.
Garrett, you could have been doing this for me the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah, like, you should have just told me, hey, I can't find shit on NonPay. Can you see if you can find them? What we don't have, though, is, like, I have some foreign databases that I can search in, but I don't have any Asian databases.
Oh, well, it seems like that would be what I would need for that anyways.
But it is, like, you know, it is Disney, so maybe.
Possibly.
It's tough to find any band that I've researched or any artist that I've researched, whether it's Vietnamese, Korean, Chinese, Indonesian. There are characters and languages that I do not recognize, it's impossible for me to find. There's no way. We'll try on the next one.
Okay.
If you can't find anything.
That sounds good. Yeah.
I may try at work tomorrow. See if I can find anything on Nompe.
Do it. Do it and let me know. That's all we have.
That's it. We'll keep this episode nice and short.
Yeah. Everything's going fine. We're still adjusting to our schedule and figuring it out. This week is a short week for us in terms of work. We both only have a 3-day work week this week.
It's awesome. 2 3-day weekends.
Yeah.
In a row.
Yeah. Dax's birthday. He turned 5 on Sunday. So we're going to the beach this weekend. We talked about Beck so much in this episode that I decided right before we started recording that our next episode, whether it's next week or the week after, because we seem to be on this every 2-week trend, we're going to do Beck. So if you've seen it, that's awesome. I think you'll like the episode. If not, go watch it. It's not on any streaming sites. We have the DVD. I bought it for Garrett in our first like few months of dating.
Yeah, it's only on the only streaming site that I found is like the personal Plex server.
Yeah. So if you find a way to watch it, please do. It's a good anime. It's very wholesome. So catch up with that. We'd love for you to come join us on that episode. Aside from that, life is moving, guys. Dreams are happening.
That's right.
Right now.
Goddamn right. And on that note, we're going to go keep working on our dreams.
That's right.
So tune in next time for another episode of Anime Noise.
Ooh, sexy. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been a Beanbag Chair Media production.